I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? This is a thick-ass kid.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
Hello. What is up?
Hey, shut up.
Trying to recover after emotional roller coaster I had right before we came on the air.
Oh, will you shut up?
Yeah, what happened to you, fella?
I discovered there. I was wandering into the break room to put my my nuts and cheese into the fridge, my mid snack. You know, this show is exhausting. I mean, 4 big hours, you need to replenish.
Well, last week, I'd like to point out you worked 3 days, and then, I mean, you had been on like a 3-week vacation.
Yes.
You come back, you worked 3 days, and then you had to take that Thursday off.
Was it only 2 or was it 3? I forget.
It was 3.
I was exhausted, though. Yeah, then, I mean, I was burnt out. And so, like, I try to replenish.
That shows you how tough
this
job is.
I mean, it's a grind. It is a grind. So I went in there into the break room, and I see a bottle, and there's no one else in the building. Like, there's nothing here.
There hasn't been for 10 months
for
now.
For 10 months, right? It's vacant, and there was a bottle sitting right on the counter.
It's starting to get sad.
It is a little bit. Like, you open up the fridge, and the stuff that's been in there has been in there for 10 months, and it's no good. It's like after the apocalypse. So I see this lovely bottle sitting there, and I was like, oh. I'm like, someone just dropped off a bottle of booze. So I said, let's go in for a further look. It looked like tequila. Not the world's biggest tequila guy, but I was like, oh, tequila. I'm like, I've never seen this brand.
You would have gladly taken that home.
It was called Free Spirits, I think it was. And I was like, why did someone drop off?
You left it in here. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I gave it to you, Mike. That's my little gift to you. And so I look at it, it's Free Spirits. And I'm like, what is this? And then I kind of read the bottle. I said, this is interesting. Alcohol-free tequila.
Oh.
What the F, my guy?
Oh, you didn't know that there was no alcohol in it?
Well, I just saw the bottle. That was all I saw.
Exactly. And it's such a lie. Like, it looks like tequila.
It says Free Spirits, the spirit of tequila.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, maybe this is a new kind of tequila. I'm like, hey, we're, you know, maybe take a little, a little sippy here, kind of rev up for the show, feeling good. No, alcohol-free tequila. What the hell? What is that?
I can explain a little bit, I guess.
What? Someone is tired of all the fun that goes along with drinking, but they just love the taste of bad tequila?
Well, it would probably be the same idea as non-alcoholic beer. You know, it's like you like the taste. Like, craft cocktails are a big deal now.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing rather than ordering a 7-Up, soda water or whatever.
Sure, a Shirley Temple.
Ordering one of those over ice may be better, like if you're at a
party. That make you feel better?
Maybe. I mean, people like the taste.
And by the way, like, we opened it up because you said, does it smell like tequila?
It does not.
No, it just kind of,
it's gross.
It smells like rubbing alcohol.
There is a reason somebody put it in the break room.
Yes.
And not only did they just put it in the break room for anyone to grab, they did that knowing that no one's been in the office for 10 months. I mean, that could literally sit in there for another year.
Easily.
So clearly it's not of value, but I see the
Did someone,
the idea behind the market of it?
Now, the question is, did someone really? Purchase that?
Yeah, really.
Was it given to someone? Are we supposed to promote that? Because if we are, I'm sorry.
Maybe they're a sponsor.
That's why I was like, God, I hope they're not sponsoring something. But if you know this program, that would be the last thing. Like what? Like, are you tired of all the fun that goes along with margaritas? Are you tired of that great buzz that you get, but still want the wonderful? Is anyone like the taste of tequila that much?
I'm sure some people do.
The only time you drink straight tequila is if you're just trying to go straight to the end.
Hey,
you're
listen
just
to this.
Trying to leapfrog.
I have some info from my sources.
Okay.
About this. My sources being internet. So well,
you're not supposed to reveal your sources, Rob.
I went to freespirits.com. It's actually drinkfreespirits.com.
Okay, I'm guessing they have a whole line of products.
Yeah, they do. They have tequila, bourbon, and gin.
Jeez.
And it says that so the free spirits are no flavored spa water placebos.
Okay. What? Huh?
What?
I'm going to need a clarification on
that.
Can you say that slower?
Yeah, I heard spa and what?
Replacement.
They said they are no flavored spa water placebos, meaning like just they're just a placebo for the real thing. Like they're not just make you look cool with one of these. We believe that a cocktail should have a benefit beyond the taste. So instead of a fermentation process that generates alcohol, we simply skip that step and infuse the source liquid with B vitamins and amino acids that help elevate your mood, your energy, and your social experience.
Oh,
yeah. Do you want to skip sex and just go to the cuddling part afterwards? Like, what?
I like how they say, if you want the taste, but you still want a benefit, the benefit is getting drunk.
What is this? Someone's making a living off of this? There's people that are buying this? I feel like Ron Swanson, we should throw that away just so that no one has to ever drink that.
If I want to get, what did you say they have? Vitamins and amino acids?
B vitamins, yeah.
I can drink something that tastes good and get those. And then drink tequila or whatever to get drunk.
Well, yeah, but...
And like my brother is a complete non-drinker, but he would never drink this.
These go to 11. Hello?
Spinal Tap.
Yeah, anyone?
I mean, yes, we all know where the reference is.
I didn't know if Mike got it.
Yeah, I got
okay.
it.
Okay.
I don't movie. Think Mike did.
I think maybe that went over.
Yeah. He was looking at me like, what?
No, I just looked at you like, really? You're going to make that reference right now?
Oh, I think it's a... I mean, I thought it was a pretty good reference.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah, thank you.
I understood where you were going with
thank
it.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Then it says, we are cocktail people.
Are you really?
I don't think you are.
Yeah, you're missing the point.
We created free spirits to enable people like us to enjoy their favorite cocktails while controlling the amount of alcohol that's used in their creation without sacrificing taste.
You're not controlling the amount of alcohol. There's no alcohol.
From a non-alcoholic cocktail, when you replace your traditional spirit one-to-one with free spirits to half and half, when you split the recipe between free spirits and its boozy cousin and so on, free spirits give a never before had control on the cocktail drinker.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Do you think they could this any better though? This is some terrible explanations on their
question.
Website.
If you're making a cocktail and you don't, can't you just do like a lesser pour as opposed to buying a whole separate thing? What?
It also sounds like they are requiring this to be put in cocktails because they know it tastes bad.
Yeah.
So if you mix it with other ingredients, it won't taste as bad. As if you just have it.
Would you like a testimonial from the great Dennis McFarland?
Well, of course. I mean, if Dennis approves it.
Dennis's quote is, if I'm honest, I like this better than real tequila.
Jeez.
It tastes good. Like, really good.
I'll just tell you right now that if I ever encountered Dennis, I'm kicking him in the balls.
That's testimonial, the testimonial. Dennis.
Yeah. I like it better.
Would you like a testimonial from Cameron Hauser?
Well, clearly after Dennis's hot testimony.
Quote. I went out for a big night last Friday, which normally crush my weekend, hungover, tired.
Mm-hmm.
This time, every couple rounds, I had my mule made with this stuff, and I woke up Saturday feeling like $1 million.
Again, you can just
so
not...
So he still was drinking. He just mixed this every
just
once in a while?
Just drink as
yeah.
much.
Like, every third
you...
one.
Mix in a water, my man. It's not that hard to do.
Would you like a testimonial from the great Mike Scanlon?
No, I'm done.
All males so far.
Yeah.
Well, I think Cameron could have been a female.
The females hate it.
Yeah. Is there a gal that's thinking this is fantastic?
Well, don't you think Cameron Hauser could be a female?
No. Cameron? No.
Cam?
No.
Huh? Mike says, it's great to have an option when the second or third cocktail is a questionable decision. This changes how I look at a night of great cocktails.
Again, great.
I don't understand the thought process.
I'm
if a second or third cocktail is a questionable decision, don't have it.
I'll tell you right now, I woke up this morning with a lot on my mind, right? We've got a second impeachment going on. There's a lot happening right now in our country. And I'll tell you, I'm not prepared for alcohol-free tequila. I was not prepared. I'm at my breaking point, right? I'm at an 11 right now. And now I come in and you hit me with non-alcoholic tequila? For heaven's sakes,
who do you
spirits.
Think put that in there?
I don't know. And that's the other thing I'm wondering, like, where did that come from? Did someone get that as a gift and was like, this isn't sitting in my house. I'm assuming that was a holiday gift. Someone, like, I could see, like, my dad giving me that. He's like, I didn't know what to get you, so here, but I'm not buying you real booze. Take this. But you don't know what to do with it, so you just bring it into the office and dump it? I mean, I don't know. It's now sitting in the in Mike's room there. How long does that sit? Because I think it could be there for at least a solid year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, if we choose not to touch it,
yeah,
I think it will stay, and it will be moved, but it will stay in yeah, that room.
Probably.
Someone said it was the Doogie Howser testimonial. That's true. Is this for the underage doctor? Is this for like the pilot? Do you like the feeling of a cocktail, but about ready to get behind the wheel of that steel beast? Have yourself some free spirits tequila.
Now here is someone who is for the idea of fake tequila.
Really?
Yes. He says, you guys clearly don't get this concept because you're drinkers. As a former drinker who liked it a little too much, this is for someone that wants to make a mocktail because being offered milk, juice, or soda is a punch in the D when you're out for the evening. Give me something interesting to drink.
Okay, hold on. So if I'm an alcoholic, right, and I can't drink anymore, I'm doing the whole program and everything, I'm being that mysterious guy in the corner, I'm on the program. You're telling me that I'm going to a bar and then I'm going to drink something that mimics what gives me that sort of problem? That seems like a terrible, terrible idea. Like, it's just inching you closer and closer to the thing.
It's a slippery slope.
That's a slippery slope.
Is O'Doul's, like, popular? I mean, O'Doul's is the only non-alcoholic beer I've ever heard of.
I guarantee there's other ones, but
a lot of the craft breweries are starting to make a couple of non-alcoholic options in the city.
Are they?
Yeah.
So it's the same idea. It's just the same idea.
I would tell you that when I was in the church going days, I did see some people that would drink O'Doul's when other members of the church were around, simply as kind of a mask. And then once they left, then they broke out a yellow jacket or silver bullet or whatever. So I suppose it does serve a purpose. But this is fascinating to me.
How about this stat? In China, as much as 30% of new beers released in recent years have been non-alcoholic.
Get right the hell out of town,
China.
Yeah.
Wow.
Heineken has a 0.0, I guess that's what they call it. That's a non-alcoholic beer. And they're very popular.
Yeah.
Internationally.
Hopefully they're a new sponsor. Isaac and Suk here for Free Spirits Tequila. We don't get this at all, but apparently you do. So drink up, people.
Well, I don't really like tequila.
No.
So
neither.
Maybe I would like fake tequila. Because it doesn't taste like tequila.
But well,
I think the whole point is it does taste like tequila without the alcohol.
It doesn't
right?
smell it.
It didn't smell it. But again, I don't like tequila either.
Me neither.
It's way down my list of beverages. So the idea of fake tequila, at least with real tequila, I get if I'm down in Mexico and there's tequila available, all right, we're having an evening. We'll get you to the finish line a little quicker. Sure. But this is just spinning your tires.
Well,
I'm in a drag race here and I'm stuck in neutral. I'm just spinning and I'm smoking some tires.
It stands to reason that if non-alcoholic beer sales were a thing, mm-hmm. and they are, apparently they're increasing.
Yeah.
Then the same would be true of spirits and cocktails.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
Same concept. And if it's working in beer, it's going to work in cocktails.
Careful. So,
what?
Careful with that. So when I go home tonight and you pour, three fingers of Lagavulin, I should curse the fact that that makes me feel good, right? I should be like, damn it! Damn those small islands off of the coast of Scotland. Where is my non-alcoholic version? Said no one ever.
All right, well, hello.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get derailed by that. It's just,
it's okay.
It threw me for a loop.
I didn't have anything planned.
I wasn't prepared.
We've got a big show today.
Well, I figured.
Main reason being it's a Wednesday. And you know what that means.
Well, I was thinking that not just Wednesday, but
Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
It's kind of off the chain.
This is your time to shine.
Why?
Because it's opening day.
Oh, hockey.
Yes.
Yeah.
No one, and I mean no one, brings the hot hockey takes like Isaac Rupp.
It's true.
I am so excited for your full NHL preview hour that you agreed to
yesterday.
Will
you break down conferences,
Did
teams?
I sign on that?
I mean, you go into the whole thing?
Yeah. Well, I've been breaking down the league for quite some time. As you know, I am the hockey expert here at The Fan.
Yes.
And I have picks for this year.
Well, I just would like to point out for people, you did predict that Tampa Bay and the Lightning would both play for the Stanley Cup and one of them would win it. Who won the Stanley Cup championship last year? Tampa Bay and the Lightning.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, that's bold.
Thank you.
No one.
Nostradamus over here.
No one has the guts.
Was Tampa in the game?
Yes.
Was the Lightning in the game?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is
Did
better
one of them win? Yes.
Than the year before when you made the bold prediction of Washington and Tampa being in the Stanley Cup final because they were both in the Eastern Conference. I didn't think it could get any bolder than that until you went with Tampa and the Lightning.
That didn't quite happen.
No.
But we got close.
We got close.
You know, you can't, I mean,
you're not right every
time. Not every year.
But, I mean, last year, spot on. I mean, both your teams in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Your Tampa and your Lightning are playing at 5:00 today, so you get to watch them, if you so choose.
Yeah, there's a game on right now, actually.
Yes, there is.
Who's this?
Flyers Penguins.
Okay.
Did you say, who's this? You didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't look up and recognize the jerseys?
You couldn't pick that out, could you?
The Steelers are playing the Bengals, it looks like.
Now, I will say that, and I don't know if there's any other city that has this, but all of Pittsburgh's teams share the same colors.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Pirates, Penguins, Steelers.
That's why I want the MLB team that comes to Portland very soon to be
to just piggyback off of it.
Duck colors.
Oh, you're going duck.
Oh.
You can go red and black.
I was kind of thinking red and black.
Yeah. That'd be fine, too.
Yeah.
But if it's the A's.
I think their MLS team, too, whatever, it's the Wrecking something. Is it the Wrecking Crew? I think their MLS team.
Pittsburgh does not have an MLS
team. I thought they had one.
I mean, they might have a new one that's starting.
I thought they did. I thought there was a soccer team that had those same colors, too, but I could be mistaken.
But, what if the A's come here? Are you changing the A's to red and black? Or?
Unfortunately, I think if you get the A's, then you just got to leave it.
Are you still on the train that those teams are going to come to Portland?
I was never on that train.
Yeah.
I was just asking a mere hypothetical. I don't think the A's are going anywhere, but, you know, you never know.
I would.
If I had told you what had happened in the year. Hell, if I had just told you what had happened in the year 2021, last July, you wouldn't have believed me.
No.
We're what, 2 weeks into this damn thing? And if I told you the things that had happened already in July of last year, you'd have been like, what? That's not going to happen.
Like, what the hell is going on?
And yet it has. So you never know. Things change fast.
If the A's come here, then you keep it the A's and you keep it the colors.
And then you change the Blazers to green and, green and yellow and black.
But if it's the Tampa, do away with that whole damn thing. Recreate it. Name the team whatever you want and go from there. I still like the Portland Urban Campers myself.
All right, well, guys, guess what? James Harden got traded.
Yes, he did.
Did you see that?
I did see that.
He is on the move. And when we come back, we will tell you where he's going. It is 3:18 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here is our poll question today. It is at 1080thefan.com. As always, it is brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. This is a very timely poll question as this trade just went down within the last couple of hours. But James Harden is headed to the Nets. So, what will the Nets be now with James Harden? And you have three options. NBA title favorite, dumpster fire, or meh. Neither.
I don't agree with any of those.
Oh, you'd have a fourth choice?
I'd have a fourth choice.
What would that say?
I think they're the favorites in the West, in the East, but I don't think that they beat the Clippers or the Lakers. Hmm. And a lot of this, too, depends on what the hell happens with Kyrie Irving. I mean, the guy's MIA. When's the last time maybe like Dennis Rodman did this? Ron Artest asked for some time off to promote his rap album. The dude just is gone. He's just, they're like citing personal reasons. And I guess they're saying, I was reading today and yesterday that no one from the Nets can get a hold of him. He's just gone at the, you know, and they're like, we don't know when he's coming back. So if you get an engaged Kyrie Irving, then you have the best trio in the league with that. There's not three more talented players on one team. You take him away, you still have the second best duo in the league behind LeBron and AD. Hmm. And so
you're missing someone.
I am. Mm-hmm. And that is
Lillard.
Yeah.
And CJ Killer McCollum.
The Shark. Yeah. It's the second best duo in the NBA with that Kevin Durant guy and James Harden behind AD and LeBron. So I think they're favorites in the East. And if they all can get together and not be a bunch of asshats, then yeah, they're NBA title favorites. But you literally have two of the bigger enigmas in the league. One of them is fat and out of shape and doesn't care. I'm assuming that he will care now and he's going to get back into shape. You've got a guy coming off an Achilles tear, although who's wrecking people, right? He's averaged like 30 a game and looks like the old guy, but is super sensitive and can be difficult to play with. So there is a lot of working pieces to fit in here, but talent wins in this league. Like I've heard so many people that are trashing this being like, well, I wouldn't give up my player for this. Outside of the Pistons, when has a collection of talent beaten stars? Stars win. And so I get why the Nets did it. Sure, it's a hefty price to play in your mortgage in your future, but Dirt and Sprague were saying that this was like the Nets when they did this with you know, KD and Paul Pierce and those guys. And no, it's not. You had three guys that were well past their prime. And by the way, none of those guys, except for Kevin Garnett, when Kevin Garnett was in his prime, are as good as what you have here. I mean, Kevin Durant, before he tore his Achilles, was probably considered the best player in the NBA. James Harden is one of the five best scorers of all time, and Kyrie Irving is a very, very talented guard. I don't think he's anywhere near the level of those two, but you're still talking about a perennial all-star. I mean, this wins in this league. It may not win right away. I mean, we've seen these things kind of take time, and you know, the Clippers will have to bear out what if they did pays, you know, dividends more than their first year when they got bounced because they had chemistry issues. But make no mistake about it, stars win. And yes, this is a risky move, but you also don't get stars without some baggage. If James Harden was perfectly fine, he's not available right now. So you're taking some risk, but I love what the Nets did. They're taking the definition of a giant swing.
Lots to chew on there. Let's just tell you what the trade is first. Four teams. Here are the deets, yo. The Nets get Harden. The Pacers get Caris LeVert and a second round pick. Mm-hmm. The Cavs get Jarrett Allen and Taurean Prince. So the Rockets, out of all of that, net Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum, Rodions Kurucs.
Oh, the Kurucs, yeah.
I worked hard on that pronunciation.
YouTube that one for a while.
Nets first round picks in 2022, 2024, and 2026. Mm-hmm. Those are all unprotected. Houston also gets Milwaukee's 2022 unprotected first.
By the way, none of those picks, if this bears out, are going to be anything other than in the late 20s. I mean, yeah, you can have some capital to move up, but you're drafting in the very back half of the
draft. Well, maybe, but that's many years down the road, and we saw what happened with the Boston trade. Those picks became quite good.
Sure.
And they get four unprotected first-round pick swaps. And the pick swap is just where Houston has the right to swap first with Brooklyn in the odd numbered years, because you can't trade first round picks in back-to-back years. Yep. So 2022, 24, 26. So I think it's 21, 23, 25, 27 will be pick swaps.
Yeah. So if their pick is better than theirs, they can swap it. Right. But again, that may not be a thing if this trade does end up working out. And Brooklyn,
I mean, Brooklyn's going to have a worse pick.
You would think, but again, to be fair, it's risky, but again, if you're Brooklyn, you went for it and you got KD and you got Kyrie, and it looks like Kyrie's going south. So if that's the case, then you're just sitting there with KD. I love the fact. This is like what Houston did. Yeah, it was a little risky back in the day, but I love the fact that Morey was willing to put it on the line and saying, we're not going to be okay just being mediocre. So I think this is a great move. And if it doesn't work out, at least you tried. It's better than just sitting there and being irrelevant if you're Brooklyn. So
yeah, I think when James Harden comes available, as fat and out of shape and as obnoxious as he can be, he is elite on the highest level. And yep. It's just, I think when a guy like that becomes available and he mentions your team as one he wants to go to,
hopefully you get him motivated.
I really think you gotta make that happen. And of course the Blazers were mentioned by James Harden.
Yeah.
That perhaps the story here is that the Blazers did not get James Harden.
No.
I don't know how hard they tried, but based
on the
way
CJ started the season, I have a feeling that stopped being
the killer.
I will say that every year, just say that CJ is on the trading block and that you're looking to deal him for someone. If this is what you get,
he's just out hunting
because he's been fantastic.
Looking to eat, always finds a way to eat, that guy. Now,
don't worry about me.
Based on what the Rockets got, the Blazers couldn't even. I mean, I'm sure they called about Harden.
Yeah,
but. Like, you're not matching even this offer.
No.
Like, you don't have the assets to match.
You've got 4+ first-round picks, essentially.
Yeah, the only other offer that supposedly
and Victor Oladipo.
Was on the table was the Simmons in Philadelphia, and that hasn't been confirmed if that was indeed there. And by the way, if you're Houston, your team is made up of matchsticks because you have the three best players on your team are DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, and Victor Oladipo. A strong wind could go through there.
Well,
and blow,
Christian would probably.
Yeah, but blow every one of those guys down. You're like the three little pigs right now, but you built your team out of sticks.
Did you think it was weird that they traded LeVert for Oladipo?
I thought that was a little odd.
LeVert's really, really good.
I'd rather have LeVert than Oladipo just because the Oladipo thing scares the living hell out of me. You know, injuries in this league can take you down real, real fast. See your other two players in John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins.
I just want to throw this out there because I did reference the last trade the Nets did with the Celtics where they gave up all those picks for Garnett and Pierce and who else went in that trade?
Allen, right?
Oh, all three of them went,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, all three.
That turned out to be terrible for the Nets, right? I can foresee Kevin Durant coming off of an Achilles tear, getting re-injured again.
Ooh.
You're right about Kyrie Irving, right? What is going on with him? He seems like he's completely disappeared.
He'll be back.
And then, you know, Harden's good. I like Harden. I just don't know how motivated he is. What if in a couple of years, Irving's gone, Durant's hurt again, and all you have is Harden and a bunch of auxiliary pieces? All of a sudden, you're not going to be that good of a team.
I understand.
And then those first-round picks you traded, I'm not saying it's a bad trade. I'm just saying it's not some sort of surefire win for the Nets.
There's no such thing as a surefire win unless LeBron decides on a free agent contract to come your way. But here's my point. Take your balls out of your wife's purse and take a swing at something.
He's not even married.
That's true. It's just this. You always hear this when a team does something risky and you're like, well, it may not pan out. Yeah, no S. But this is, I don't know. I just think that we give people flack for being aggressive. And for me, I would rather my team be aggressive and try to do something like this than sit on their hands and say, eh, I guess we'll just be okay and we'll just kind of let it grow and develop. And maybe that just comes from, no offense, but we've been in Portland now for, you know, been doing this for 16, 17 years. And for the most part, this is what we hear out of Portland year after year is, oh, we'll just run it back and we'll add a little piece here and we'll add a little piece there. And, you know, we'll just kind of grow and develop. And yes, it has worked before. Like you say, it worked in Dallas with one real star in Dirk, and it worked in Detroit when they beat LA with that collection of people with Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups. But outside of that, stars win and stars are hard to acquire. So if you have an opportunity to get James Harden, an MVP, and Kyrie Irving, who's a giant pain in the ass, and Kevin Durant, that when healthy is as good as anyone in the league, I have no problem with the team sacrificing some future and going for it. It's a risky move, and if it fails, everyone's going to kill him for it. I won't, because at least that you didn't sit on your hands and just say we're average.
Well, it also matters what you have. Like, just getting Harden is great for your team because he makes you relevant instantly.
Yeah,
because he's the best scorer in the league. He's one of the best scorers, if not the best. But the fact that you have Durant and Irving, and James Harden becomes available, you got to try for that,
yes.
Right? Like, there are other teams where it's like, well, James Harden may want to come here. Like, even the Sixers, you know, maybe there was an internal debate there if it's wise to go after James. But with Kevin Durant, and by the way, he has a past relationship with James Harden, having already played with him, you were able to land Durant and Irving. You got to go for James Harden because you've already pushed your chips all in anyway.
Exactly.
So, I mean, what are the picks going to do? you know, again, with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, you're in the 20s.
You're in the time.
As they are.
Exactly. You are in the time frame of we're going to do this and we're going to try to win. And LA did this too. The Clippers did it, right? You sacrificed some future and you said that we're going to shove our chips in the middle. And, you know, if it works out, it works out. And if it doesn't, we'll look like fools. But I love the roulette spin.
Okay, there's a little bit more to chew on here, which we will get to next. We have our NFL Hump Day Roundup coming up at 4. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, James Harden traded to the Nets. So the Nets' new starting five, if everyone is right of mind and healthy, is Kyrie Irving, James Harden, I guess Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, and DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, probably.
That's pretty effing good.
Sure. I mean, like,
I mean, it's Harden, Durant, Westbrook all over again, only replacing Westbrook with
Kyrie Irving.
Flat Earth Boy.
And we said the same thing last year with the Lakers. They're like, well, outside of AD and LeBron, you know, there's not a lot of great players and not really a lot of shooters. And yeah, it wasn't necessarily the greatest supporting cast in the world. But last time I checked, they won a title on the back of LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
I think
you now have three bona fide superstars. Now, three dumbass stars.
Well, but see, that's the key right there. Let's go to that. We didn't talk about that last segment. You know, we're talking about talent, and yes, of course, talent matters. Look, when Anthony Davis and LeBron James play together, what happens?
Yep.
However, you have three dopes. Retraction. You have two dopes.
And a Sensi.
And a Sensi.
Yeah, a soy boy.
Durant's not a dope.
He's just a soy boy.
He is a soy boy. But they're so, like, you want to talk about a potential for a dumpster fire?
Yeah.
Put these three guys together.
With a first-year coach who's never done it before that may or may not have the respect of his team.
Well, you know. Isn't it telling? Okay, so I think we talked about this on the show, or maybe I was talking about this with someone else, but the Brooklyn Nets, we were on, you know, holiday for the first couple games of the NBA season. And I was watching the Nets and I was like, oh my God, that team is going to be so good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not really. They're 6-6.
Well, but Kyrie Irving hasn't been there for a bulk of it.
I understand, but Kyrie Irving's just been, it's only been in the last couple of weeks. Well, I guess they haven't been playing for that long. But it's only been a handful of games that Kyrie's missed and Durant was out.
Yeah.
So they did have that, but there was a time in there where, I think they won those first two games and it was like, holy crap, they look good. And then I think they might've lost four in a row or something out of nowhere. And then it was like, well, wait a minute, this is going to be a mess. And then they had, you know, like you say, Irving thing and then Durant with COVID protocols. So it's hard to really say what they are. It's so early, but initially, it looks like it's kind of a mess anyway, because like you said, Irving's like MIA.
Yeah, and they can't get a hold of
it. We're 12 games into the season, and they can't find Kyrie. Like, what? That's not a good sign. And Steve Nash is a first-year head coach, so you kind of look at this and go, boy, you want to talk about a dumpster fire waiting to happen. It's this.
Yeah.
Because of the personalities that they put together. I'm with you that you still do it. But at the same time, my God, this could be awful.
Sure, and I get it. Like, LeVert's a nice piece. Like, I think he's the kind of the quiet thing in this whole thing. But Chris LeVert's good. You saw him last year when they was playing in the bubble against Portland. That guy's got potential to be really good, which is why I'm a little confused why you dealt him for Oladipo. But again, if you're Brooklyn and you had to give it up, I mean, yeah, Chris LeVert's a promising young player.
It's Karis.
Or Karis, excuse me. Is a promising young player, but James Harden is an MVP.
Well, this team isn't very, it isn't the youngest, you know,
no.
With Durant and
no, you're going into the
Harden.
Win, you're going into the win and win now mode.
Yeah. So I wonder how many years they'll run this. And I think Durant has an opt out too.
Yeah, he does. And that's the risk. It's the same thing. Like when they went and got Paul George and, you know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, that thing wasn't guaranteed to be together, but.
So the Nets are going to be the new Rockets in a year or two, and Durant's like, this guy sucks, I'm out of here.
You know, they said the same thing about AD when he came to LA, though, right? AD, you know, they were like, well, you know, if it doesn't go there, and you know, does he end up back in Chicago?
Yeah, but LeBron's different than Harden. Like,
sure.
LeBron is in it to win it. Like, he's obnoxious, maybe not the best teammate, but you ride LeBron's coattails, you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
That is not necessarily the case with James Harden. James Harden is so great at basketball, but he can come in and totally blow up your locker room.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's different than attaching to LeBron James.
And this is a good point. He says, someone said, who's the leader of this team? Whereas in L.A., it's clearly LeBron. Anthony Davis may be the better player at this point.
The leader's going to be KD.
But that's LeBron's team. Yeah, it's a leader, but is James Harden or Kyrie Irving willing to be led? You know, look, there is certainly some risk in here. I said it earlier today. I think this is the most talented but unlikable team that we've ever seen.
Is Harden now going to get the Durant treatment? Like the chase and ring thing?
It's possible.
Is he going to get that? Because, I mean, this is basically what Durant did.
Pretty much.
And he got all kinds of crap.
Except he didn't join. I guess it's viewed differently, even though this is a super team. He's not joining a team that, you know,
just won it
or won 70 games and came up just shy. I think it's different joining a promising team in Brooklyn as opposed to joining the Warriors.
But we've got another NBA star who's dictating major affairs in the league. I mean, Harden got everything he wanted.
Well, it was amazing. Like, if you want a masterclass on how the hell to get out of a city, don't show up to training camp. Go to a strip club during COVID. Show up, 15, 20 pounds overweight, not give two rips, and then after you lose to the Lakers, go out and say that your team isn't good and it can't be fixed. I mean,
he knew what he was doing.
You can't bring him back into the locker room. DeMarcus Cousins was going to, punch him out. DeMarcus Cousins was livid, and I don't blame him. Like, you could not, if you were Houston, bring him back. Although it does make you wonder, did Brooklyn have to, when there really was only two options here, which was trade him to Philadelphia, trade him to Brooklyn, did you have to give up all of that? You know, could you have called their bluff a little bit? Because that was pretty, he threw some gasoline on the fire last night.
Well, if the Rockets were good, they would be telling the Nets, hey, we got the Sixers on the other line here, and they've just upped their offer. And, you know, if you really want him, we're probably going to go with this Sixers deal. Because there was the rumor out there that it was down to the Sixers and Nets.
Yeah.
And the Rockets wanted the Sixers deal because they wanted
Ben Simmons.
So perhaps they did get a sweeter offer because from Brooklyn by using that. I mean, if they're smart, that's what they would have done. Yeah. But
we saw this year, Carmelo has forced his way out, and AD has forced his way out, and Hart. I mean,
I hate that, but
you can.
It's the nature of the. Oh well, it's they do.
Yeah,
and it's just the nature of the league. I don't like it, but I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. That's the way the NBA works. So we'll see how it goes. Good luck.
It is the definition of a player league, and I will tell you that all of a sudden the NBA just got that much more interesting. Out east.
Yeah, so I wonder how Spencer Dinwiddie feels, you know?
Because
he's like, wait, I didn't get traded?
Yeah,
because the thought was he was going to be the centerpiece of anybody that gets traded for Harden.
Well, I'm sure it's a little awkward there if you're sitting in the Nets locker room over the last, you know, or Philadelphia for that matter. But you know, again, this is part of the NBA. When you're one of those guys and you're a solid player, but you know you're expendable, I don't think you can necessarily be butthurt. I get someone like CJ, who he's more than a role player. He's going to be an all-star this year. And certainly if you're a star player, I get where you're coming from on that and that feelings can be hurt and those reputations can be damaged. But I think if you're just a role player or a solid starter on a team, I don't think you can hold a team accountable for that sort of stuff. I mean, I suppose you can, but seems a bit pointless because you know that the people that you're being talked about are significantly better than you.
All right, James Harden to the Nets. We're going to get our NFL in up at the top of the hour there. It's our hump day roundup. It's Wednesday, but is there a surprise candidate for the Oregon defensive coordinator job? Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I was reading the Athletic Tyson Alger's report on the Oregon defensive coordinator search. And he's talking in here about, you know, some different names. As a matter of fact, Oregon Live did a list of 10 names for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the guys are like, what? And who?
But to be fair, you know.
But yeah, I'm not saying anything about that. It's just
before Avalos, you know, did anyone know that he was the Boise State defensive coordinator? You just hear that he was the Boise guy, and you're like, oh, okay.
But in this article, he talks about how the Ducks have internal candidates, you know, Hayward and Big Joe and all those guys. Mm-hmm. And then outwardly, he points out, and this is not the only place I've seen this, but he was talking about Todd Orlando, the USC defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. being a surprise candidate for this job.
Really?
Yeah, because I guess Cristobal has some ties to him, and he just left. So Todd Orlando got fired in Texas, and then USC hired him as their defensive coordinator, and he was their DC this COVID season. But I guess he was Cristobal's defensive coordinator at Florida International.
Hmm.
And I guess he's really close with Joe Moorhead. So I wonder if, I don't know if this is true. He just said, keep an eye on that. But I wonder if Oregon would steal USC's defensive coordinator and if that's a good thing.
I don't know. I mean, again, this goes back to like what people's reputation, what sort of scheme do they run? And I think a lot of times like you hear these names and all you can go by is look up, you know, what defense they had, you know. But if you're at, you know, if you're a defensive coordinator at a small time school, you may not, you're not playing with the same level of players. So to me, these hires are fairly tricky when you get into panning them or saying that it's wonderful. I remember when Cal hired Bo Baldwin as their offensive coordinator, and I thought that was a slam dunk. I was like, oh my God, what a great hire. And it turned out his offense was terrible down there at Cal. That he was the problem. It wasn't the defensive side of the football. So we've seen Oregon rob from other programs, but it's usually Washington State and Colorado. It's a weird idea to think that you could pilfer the USC defensive coordinator, but
it is.
You know, maybe again, maybe he's not making what he is at USC. Maybe he thinks that Oregon's a better job with more talent. Maybe he's more comfortable with Cristobal and thinks it's a brighter future. Who knows?
Avalos made $815,000, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon pays. I mean, they don't pay like what the SEC pays, but you're not the super cheap.
I would imagine Orlando makes over $1 million at USC, don't you think?
I would think. A lot of that time, the USC stuff doesn't get released, though, because it's a private school.
Right, but I mean, come on, it's USC.
Yeah, and again, I don't know what the buyout situation is there, too, because if he signed a contract there, I'm assuming that he has a buyout. Are you willing to pay his buyout and then pay him the money that he needs to come here? So I don't know.
Yeah. At Texas, he made 1.7 a year.
Did he really?
Yeah.
See, I'd be.
He doesn't make that.
I can't imagine that. But like I said, I bet you he's making close to $1 million at Oregon. Or excuse me, at USC. And at Oregon, are you willing to do the buyout and then are you paying him that? That seems a little bit far-fetched for me.
Who do you want?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard some different names that are being thrown around. Tosh Lapoy is a name that I've heard. He's the defensive line coach at Alabama.
Man, that dude, we've been hearing about him for years.
Yeah, and that he is...
he bounces around, doesn't he?
Bounces around a lot, but he ran the Alabama defense for a brief second.
And isn't he an infraction waiting to happen?
He is known as a very, very good recruiter. you can take that
So he's for, an infraction waiting to happen?
You can take that for what it's worth. I've heard Jim Leonard's name kicked around a little bit.
Jim Leonard?
He's the defensive coordinator out at Wisconsin.
Oh.
And that would be one if you want a name that I think would be pretty, pretty sexy if you could pull him from that. And again, I don't know where Jim Leonard views that move going from Wisconsin to Oregon. Can you pay to get him out of there? But Wisconsin's defense every year without the talent that Oregon has is very, very good. So if there is one name that I've heard kicked around, and again, I don't know how realistic it is considering the fact that Leonard did go to Wisconsin as well. I doubt that that's a realistic thing, but if there was one name out there that would get my sports pants tight, if I'm a Duck fan, would probably be Jim Leonard. But I think that's fool's gold.
Looking at this Oregon Live story, they have Bo Davis, Detroit Lions defensive line coach.
Okay. I know nothing.
They have Kevin Steele. He's already gone to Tennessee.
Yeah.
They have Lapoy. Here's Chris Rumpf.
Steele was Auburn's guy, right?
Yeah. Rumpf is Texans outside linebackers coach.
Okay.
He's a great recruiter, supposedly. And then it's got Lance Thompson, former Florida Atlantic, South Carolina, and Tennessee D-line coach. And he worked with Cristobal at Alabama.
And that's the same thing with the Rumpf guy, right? They all have connections to Cristobal when he was down at Alabama.
Yeah, and they do have Todd Orlando on here. Everybody likes Todd Orlando because he worked with Cristobal once, but
yeah. But again,
I think they missed him by a year.
And then that's the thing. I think with Orlando and Leonard are the two that people are excited about, but I just think you're asking a lot. Leonard does make, yeah, he already makes $1 million at Wisconsin. So
you think Oregon could pay a mil for if they find the right guy, though?
Yeah.
Isn't Moorhead making over a mil?
Well, I know
Levitt
was making over $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. So they can do it.
Sure.
I'm sure he got, Cristobal got some of that dough in his extension.
Well, and that was one of the things he wanted, more money for assistant coaches. So again, we're about to find out how attractive a job this is. Like we view, I view Oregon as a very, very good job. Is it a top 10 job? Is it a top 12 job?
We'll find out.
We'll find out
by this name.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Moorhead's, you know, on the other side, Joe Moorhead's a pretty strong pull.
Yes. Joe Moorhead ran a good offense at Penn State, was a highly thought of guy, got a job in the SEC at Mississippi State, where now Mike Leach is. Didn't work out, but Moorhead, I remember, was one of the two or three hot names, and Oregon landed him. So, yeah, I think that's, I do. I think this is a legitimate, in general, a job at Oregon, I think, is a top 15 job. The question is, for someone like, if you're at USC, if you're at Wisconsin, those two were probably, well, the USC is, and Wisconsin is probably right in that same sort of range. So is it more of a lateral move? And if it is a lateral move, how much more money do you have to pay? Is Oregon willing to come up with that? Or do you go with kind of a young and up and coming guy? Do you, you know, the Avalos thing, that's a no brainer going from Boise State to Oregon. So do you go look at someone like that? Or does it have to be someone with ties to Mario Cristobal? Because that's the thing, is everyone that I've seen really kind of kicked around here has some sort of tie to Mario Cristobal. And like Avalos didn't, if I remember correctly, he just was Boise State's guy. So, you know, do you go down that road? Do you start looking at the North Dakota States, or do you start looking at the, you know, the Boises of the world, or the Central Floridas, or the Cincinnati's and places like that, and see if you can pull a defensive coordinator from that rank? Because right. That seems to be a much easier job and a less costly job than pulling from Wisconsin or SC.
Our NFL Hump Day Roundup is coming up next. We'll get you ready for divisional weekend. The Browns are starting to get some guys back, so we'll get all of that in when we return. 359 on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.